Hey, my pleasure, Karen. Good to be with you.
Yeah, good to be with you, too. So tell us briefly about your background, because this bio seems to have gotten a little bit corrupted in the computer there. So tell us a little bit about you and why you decided to write this book, What Next Chicago?
You bet, Karen. So I spent about 30-plus years working in journalism and politics, advocacy, and communications. Worked on a undercover probe of corruption in Chicago. We set up a fake tavern called the Mirage Tavern and documented the shakedowns by the city of Chicago inspectors. 60 Minutes came in to do an episode, Mike Wallace and the whole gang. That was a long time ago. I was just a wet behind the ears kid back then. But it helped to inspire me to go into journalism, learn how to do news reporting and opinion writing and, you know, long, long career in all of those fields, which I mentioned earlier. But looking at Chicago last year, looking at the cities in the United States blowing up after the heinous death of George Floyd under the knee of that Minneapolis policeman, I realized I had to come back to my hometown of Chicago. Stuff had been building for a while, but now it was spilling over, so I needed to dig in. And I moved back in, and I started going down into the South Side to talk to black people in particular about really the question that's on the cover of the book. Mm-hmm. What next, Chicago? Because there were so many problems, which we can get into in just a minute, if you'd like.
Yes, of course. So you mentioned George Floyd and all of that. I often comment on the fact that all hell broke loose in 2020, affected exactly what they wanted, which was to smear all police as racist and to somehow defund them, to leave everyday citizens helpless and hopeless and defenseless. And now in 2021, there was not one riot. Doesn't it seem a little orchestrated to you?
It does. And I too felt a real grievance, and I don't use that word lightly. I think there's too much grievance out there these days, but mm-hmm. I felt a real grievance at the way that police were smeared and painted with such a broad brush as inherently racist. And what's happened, a couple
of things.
It's
totally unfair. It's a smear.
It
absolutely
is, but a couple.
Sorry, go ahead.
It is. But I would say people are getting that it's unfair, and more than that, defund the police has more or less failed. And in the book, I cite some news reports which show that this year, you know, 26 of the 50 biggest cities actually increased police spending as a proportion of their budget. And you're also seeing a lot of the outright defunding moves, which were partial, being reversed. And of course, we're seeing rising crime because here's the thing, and here's the root of my grievance and probably yours, Karen. Police have pulled back. They don't want to be tarred online. They don't want to be starring in a video that eliminates what happened before the policeman had to get physical, that doesn't show the crime or the provocation to which they're responding. Now, none of this is to say that police have never screwed up. They have, and they need
everybody
to be held,
screws up.
Yeah,
but that's
they need
not
to be
the
held
issue.
Accountable.
Right, everybody
yeah.
screws up, but yet to mm-hmm. say that all police are racist and need to go away, I'm mm-hmm. going to just cut to the chase, Matt Rosenberg, and say that's an attack on you and me. That's an attack on law-abiding citizens of every color, race, and creed who depend on the police to protect them and their property and the rule of law.
Here's what's especially interesting, Karen. On the South Side, where I spent the better part of 2 months in Chicago talking to black folks, what I heard again and again was, hey, we want more police. Yes, we want better police, but we want more of them. I heard an awful lot, too, about family. I learned about job training, career and vocational education programs. I learned about a program where 18 black female electricians were certified and graduated this summer, a program run by a pastor down in the Woodlawn neighborhood on the south side of Chicago, a great guy named Corey Brooks. He's trying to raise $20 million. He has a 501c3 for a big job training center and community center. An excellent man, just one of many. So there are success stories and rays of hope, but there's spiraling violent crime, like in other big cities. There's a poisonous atmosphere for policing. There are a broken court system, broken public schools, endemic corruption, and rigged rules of governance. So as you can tell, that's an awful lot. And I made it my mission to go in there, not only talk to people, but do the policy research as well. Talk to experts, do the research, and try and find a way out for this city. Because as this city goes, I would say so goes our nation in the end.
Well, and everybody who cares about innocent lives, regardless of their color, once again, knows that the murder rate in Chicago is through the roof. And nobody is doing anything about it. The people who claim that Black Lives Matter don't seem to care about the black lives that have been snuffed out in Chicago. Why is that, do you think?
I think there are a couple of reasons, and you have to look at who is doing the not caring. On the one hand, you have the urban political elite of color, including Mayor Lori Lightfoot, Chief
what
Judge.
I
have a lot to say about Lightfoot in the book, and I will right here in a minute. Other important regional political leaders who are also black include the Chief Judge of Cook County, Tim Evans, who is the architect of bail reform, and the Cook County prosecutor, Kim Fox, who's never met a prosecution that she likes. And so, number one, it's inconvenient for these three top black leaders and for the Chicago City Council on the whole, with a few exceptions, for those leaders of color to care about black lives lost, because they are ineffectual. And more importantly, they are married to a narrative of systemic racism, which is, you know, essentially nonsense. What we have is systemic misrule by this urban political elite of color. But Lightfoot explains every problem in the city as due either to systemic racism or to guns. What we have are young black and Latino men running off the rails. Now, the hardcore miscreants are only about 5% of the population. And as a longtime Chicagoan, I do emphasize that there are good people here, Karen. Many of them. There's amazing human capital. There's diverse culture. There are many things that still make this a great city, but we have a tyranny of the minority. So the black political leaders don't want to step up, and black lives don't matter to them. Black lives also don't matter to the white progressives, who sadly are some of the worst racists around. They believe that black people are not capable, that they are crippled by this systemic racism that they allege exists widely and broadly and controls everything. What they really want is to shuck off their own white guilt. And no one has said that better than the black scholar who grew up on the south side of Chicago and in the suburbs around here named Shelby Steele. Shelby is remarkable.
For sure.
And he literally wrote the book. It's called White Guilt, and I highly recommend it. And he said last year in a community forum here, he said, listen, I know white people are sincere when they actually ask something of us black people, when they ask us to up our game in this way or that way. If they don't, and if they're just talking about the systemic racism hustle, then I know they're just trying to get their own guilt off their backs, and they're trying to use us. And mm-hmm. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah. Well, listen, we have to get ready for a break. And so before I ask you for another question, because I got a bunch, and thank you for staying with us. Tell everybody where they can get this book, What Next Chicago? Notes of a Pissed Off Native Son.
Absolutely, Karen. People can find the book at either Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com. It's online only. They can go to either of those two major sites and simply enter What Next Chicago, and they will be delivered straight to the page.
Okay. Matt, hold on just a minute. We're going to take a quick break. We're talking to Matt Rosenberg, and thank you for joining us. We've got one more hot segment before the end of the show. Karen Cataline, you're listening to Spouting Off on BBS Radio and the K-Star Radio Network. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital. Starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
And now, more Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Well, welcome back. That was a quick break. Karen Cataline, and it is a Friday. It's Cash Friday. Go out, spend some cash. This is Spouting Off, and we have one more segment. Excuse me, I didn't mean to squeak like that. We have one more segment with Matt Rosenberg. Really enjoying talking to him about his new book, What Next Chicago? Notes of a Pissed Off Native Son. Thank you, Matt, for continuing to join us. We appreciate it. I got a couple more questions for you.
Mm-hmm. Fire away.
Yes, I shall. So one of the things, now, I've been talking all week, of course, about how the plan to divide people into victim and perpetrator, that just keeps changing in order to manipulate and control the populace. And nothing has been an example of that more than the constant charges of racism, racism, racism. And when you talked about, you were mentioning right before the break, systemic racism, which is, you know, just an ugly, horrible smear on an entire country, on an entire population, so that they can, you know, demonize all white people, demonize people according to the color of their skin, which is evil, is the notion that no one is really ever guilty of a crime if they're the right color. I mean, nobody ever talks about that much, and I would love for you to speak to that if you would, you know? Instead of judging people by whatever was their behavior and then allowing due process, which is almost gone too, it's all according to what color you are.
Well, there are certain terms that are used to facilitate really an excessively lenient approach to criminal justice. One is, of course, social justice. Another is criminal justice reform, also bail reform. But what it amounts to in the end is probation, often where real sentences are deserved. It may manifest as concurrent sentencing instead of consecutive, meaning you get two or three crimes for free, if you follow me. Someone serve two or three sentences at once when he committed two or three separate crimes. And then, of course, there's bail reform, which in Cook County, which includes Chicago, lets guys out after they've been arrested, often for violent crimes. or for gun crimes, which our state's attorney sees as not worrisome or alarming. She sees violations of the gun laws here as really sort of minor bureaucratic paperwork type of crimes. But if a guy is not carrying a legal firearm owner's ID card in Illinois or a concealed carry permit, he's quite likely up to no good with that gun. Mm-hmm. So letting them out often results in these guys going and committing further crimes, shootings, murders, and carjackings. And it's just, there is behind it, a racial consciousness, a racial awareness, essentially a sort of a get-out-of-jail-free card for people of color that is cloaked in, you know, this sort of policy reform clothing. And so it's very insidious.
Mm. Well, and we've seen in places like San Francisco and other places that it's okay to steal under $900 or less in California. And that's okay somehow.
They're knocking over boutiques and beauty stores like they were going out of style here in Chicago. Mm-hmm. We've got the same thing, and I think we're seeing this in other cities too. A great deal of drug crimes are not prosecuted anymore. I've had a Chicago policeman tell me, you know, if we stop a guy for a traffic violation and we see, you know, a rock of cocaine in a pipe in the front of a car, we're not going to get him for that, but we're going to make him get out of the car and look for illegal guns, because they know that the drug crimes will not be prosecuted. Now, you know, myself, I don't have a beef with the legalization of marijuana. I think it probably aids and abets mental illness in chronic users, and our homeless populations in the big cities suffer from a lot of addictions, including very powerful weed. So I don't think it's a really great idea from a physical and mental health perspective to use that stuff, but I understand why we're not arresting people for it. Am I suggesting we should throw heroin addicts in jail? No, but I do believe in the broken windows theory that became well understood in New York under Commissioner Bratton and Mayor Giuliani a good long time ago. And when you start to let stuff slide all over the place, you know, it has a cascading effect. So we've got a general discomfort with enforcing codes of conduct, with enforcing the law. We've got white guilt that is now institutionalized. And Karen, I bet you'd agree, but I think we shouldn't let universities off the hook here. These prosecutors and mayors and city council members who are, you know, basically enshrining a kind of moral relativism here, they all came up through these universities in whenever, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, or later, being taught what is essentially, it's called deconstructionism, and it basically tears down standards, it tears down right and wrong, and it shrouds itself in this social justice movement that has really turned into a social injustice movement, in my opinion.
Oh, that is so well stated, Matt. And that is in line with what we've seen in the assault on American culture. Everything that is terrible for America, from elevating blame, elevating lawlessness, sloth. I mean, I'm not a Christian, I'm a Jew, but the seven deadly sins are all being elevated, and goodness and decency are being plummeted, demeaned. And well, that's what we're seeing.
And Karen, I really want to accent something here, and I experienced this living in my hometown of Chicago again last year in 2020. This is not a white versus black thing, a white versus Latino thing.
And you don't even have to say that. It's too bad that everybody's so defensive about it. No, if you're not a racist, you don't have to constantly defend yourself that you're not a racist. But I do understand what you're saying.
I do, but I want to take it a step further. I've actually
You only have about a minute.
Latinos and blacks, saying, look, we believe in these things too. We believe in hard work. We believe in faith and family. And more than that, more importantly, Karen, right to your point, they believe in the opportunity that America presents. And if you look hard at what's going on in Chicago, you see Latinos coming in, working up a storm. They're everywhere. They own small businesses. They're killing it. They're good.
We are so overly conscious of these superficial groups that character has gone by the wayside as the factor here. I hate to tell you, I got to let you go. The show's almost over. I want to thank you, Matt Rosenberg, for joining us here. Do get hit, run out and get his book. It sounds fascinating. What Next, Chicago? Notes of a Pissed Off Native Son. Can people find you on Twitter and Facebook too?
They certainly can. I'm on at Chicago Schooled with a K on Twitter and on Facebook. On Facebook, there's a special page called What Next, Chicago.
Wonderful. Matt Rosenberg, thank you so much for joining us. And that about does it for us here on Spouting Off. I want to thank Doug for always coming on the air when I ask him, because it's always fun to talk to him. Thanks to my guest, Matt Rosenberg. Thanks to HW, the guy with an IQ greater than that of a small soap dish. And it is always new name Spouting Up. What are you talking about, Doug? He throws these things at me at the very last minute. It's Spouting Off, and it's a good thing to spout off. It's also good to do Cash Friday and to have a wonderful weekend. Be well. Take care. See you next week.